Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Harness the Power of the Subconscious Mind. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest this evening, Darren Eden. But before I introduce Darren, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've actually tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Darren a whole series of questions on our topic. Some of those questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the PeopleYouShouldMeet.com website prior to the call. Now, I've actually first met Darren around about a year ago. We've been friends for over a year now, and I first actually met Darren when he had made the big journey from Australia over to the UK to start sharing what he'd actually learnt in the previous 10 years of actually working with the intuitive mind. And for those of you who are regular listeners to the People You Should Meet program, I'm sure you would have heard the couple of interviews that I've done previously with Darren. And if you haven't, I certainly recommend that you actually check them out, because this is, a natural unfolding of the conversations that we've already had on the intuitive mind and actually tapping into the power of our mind. And I guess with exploring the subconscious, we're really just taking that journey into a much deeper level now. So, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call my very good friend and our very special guest, Darren Eden. How are you doing there, Darren?
I'm very well, Damien. How are you?
I'm outstanding and very, very excited about tonight's call.
Yeah, likewise, mate. It's always an honour and a privilege to be invited on these calls with you. So I'm really excited to be back and feel very privileged to be back as well. Just the people you get the privilege to interview is just astounding. So I feel quite humbled, actually.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I'm really excited about is actually deepening our conversation. We've had so many conversations on different aspects of the mind, but to have an hour to actually really dig into the subconscious and explore it and see what jewels are there waiting for us all to discover, I think it's going to be a very, very rich and fertile terrain for us to explore this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's actually one of my favourite subjects, so hopefully my passion for it will come through as well.
Great. So I guess I'll just kick us off at the start, Darren. And just ask you the question, what exactly is the subconscious mind?
Good question. Glad you asked. Well, to me, firstly, it's simply a premise. And the way I define the premise of the subconscious mind is the best way of defining it is through illustration. And it's an aspect of us that exists within us and connects us. And Jung called the subconscious mind the collective unconscious, whereas to me it's the one and the same thing. The collective unconscious, the subconscious, the one and the same thing that exists within us and it surrounds us. And I also think that George Lucas, Joseph Campbell and Master Yoda had a fantastic definition of the subconscious mind, which many people would know of, and it's called the Force. And that's one of the reasons why that particular movie resonates so much with people, is because they resonate with this notion of the Force, because it actually does resonate with the fact that we have this aspect of ourselves that exists within us and it surrounds us. You know, as Yoda says, you know, it surrounds us and binds us. That was a very specific Yoda interpretation. But just to make it really simple, the way I like to define the subconscious mind, it's like a beautiful, rich, fertile garden. And whatever seeds you plant in that rich, fertile garden magically and effortlessly manifest themselves into reality. And the great thing about the subconscious mind is that it doesn't care, it doesn't have an agenda as to what seeds get planted. It will just, it's like, imagine a beautiful garden. It doesn't care whether you plant apple seeds or orange seeds or tulip bulbs or whether weeds grow in it. It's whatever has the power, whatever takes root in the subconscious mind will magically and effortlessly manifest itself into reality. And another great example of the subconscious mind is simply a woman's womb, in that the womb, it could be a sensitive illustration, but I think it's a very true illustration, is that when an egg gets planted with a seed and that fertilizes in the womb doesn't literally care what seed is growing in there. It doesn't care if that child is black or yellow or white or red, you see. It will just literally magically and effortlessly grow that into reality. And so they're, I think, the best definitions of the subconscious mind. And then it comes, the next obvious question is, well, what seeds get planted in it? And essentially there are two main inputs that get planted into the subconscious mind. And those two inputs are the two aspects of us as human beings and also as divine beings. In that the main aspect that gets planted is our identity. And our identity essentially consists of our thoughts and feelings, which is what I call our self-conscious mind. It's what we're self-consciously aware of. If you think about it, we're self-consciously aware of our thoughts and we're self-consciously aware of our feelings. And so that's one input into the subconscious mind, or one seed that can get planted into this rich, fertile soil of the subconscious mind. And the other aspect of our identity is our unconscious mind, which is our beliefs and all the beliefs that we formed in childhood. And so if either of those have the power, or what I call have the power, in other words, take root in the subconscious mind, then they'll magically and effortlessly be manifested into reality. Whereas the other input to the subconscious mind is your greatness, which I also call your superconscious mind. So I know there's all these different definitions of consciousness flying around, but essentially when you distill it down, there's just those two inputs. And when your greatness has power in your subconscious mind, then that magically and effortlessly manifests into reality. And to me, your greatness consists of your imagination, it consists of your intuition, and it consists of what you truly love and who you truly are as a divine, powerful being. And depending on which has the power, depending on whether your identity has the power in your subconscious mind, if it has the power, it will create your reality, whereas if your greatness has the power, it will create your reality. And what determines which has the power is where you put your focus. I'm sure many people have heard of the premise that your focus creates reality. And this is how focus creates reality. If your focus is on your greatness, then that has power in your subconscious mind, and then that will magically and effortlessly manifest into reality. Whereas if the power is in your identity, then that takes root in your subconscious mind, and then that magically and effortlessly manifests into reality. And so basically, to me, the name of the game is, and this is why I love this premise so much, is simply knowing where the power is in your subconscious mind. Because if you're not creating the reality that you would love, it's simply because the power is in either your thoughts and feelings, or it's in your beliefs. And if you want to create a magical reality, or a reality that you love, instead of trying to change your thoughts and feelings or trying to change your beliefs, all you have to do is shift the power and shift your focus to your greatness, to your imagination, to your intuition, to what you love. And because when that has the power, your reality is literally a magical one. And you end up creating what you love. And you end up creating it magically and effortlessly. So that's like, you know, that whole definition really comes into that context of the subconscious mind.
Great. I love what you just said there, Darren, that it doesn't have an agenda, the subconscious mind.
Mm.
Just like a garden doesn't have an agenda. I thought that was very, very, very poignant, actually, to actually crystallize that point and I suppose put everyone at the power of choice. We all can actually influence how our reality unfolds based on where we focus our attention. That's very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Now, I was just wondering also, Darren, if you could actually share how you came to explore the subconscious mind. Why has it been a particular area of fascination for you, and how did you actually build an awareness of it?
Well, only because I was taught it. I didn't have any notion of it really. Prior to being overtly taught it, you know, I often tell the story how I spent 10 years doing every single personal development modality under the sun, and just when I'd had enough and I'd had some great experiences, I literally stumbled across a guy called William Whitecloud in Australia and did this training in intuition with him, which was a one weekend a month training for 8 months. And the first premise that he taught was this notion of having a subconscious mind. And exactly what you just said, as soon as I learnt it, the light suddenly turned on. It's like, so this is the premise that will facilitate me having the choice to create the reality that I want. It created a framework for me to really go, all I have to know is where the power is in my subconscious mind. And if I'm not creating the reality that I love, it's just a matter of shifting it. And it kind of made me come up with this expression that if you're not creating the reality that you love, it's not personal. It's structural. In other words, it's just how your subconscious mind is structured and where your focus is in your subconscious mind. So it's life suddenly started to become much more of an adventure for me, because even if I wasn't creating the end results that I wanted, I knew it must just be because my beliefs have the power in the subconscious mind, and then that's creating that reality. And then as soon as I shift it to what I love through my imagination and my intuition, I end up creating a magical reality. So that's basically how I learned it. And once I kind of grabbed hold of it, basically the following 10 years have been ways of mastering that premise and playing with that premise and seeing how it works in my life and other people's lives. It really is a phenomenal framework.
Great. So I guess once people have made the distinctions between the subconscious mind and also the unconscious and the identity, how do they actually go about, from a practical perspective, really going into their greatness and accessing their intuition on a daily basis? Is it really possible for anyone to access that power?
Oh, absolutely. It's there for everyone. The thing is, you do need to be trained in it. And once you're trained in it, it's an effortless thing. And the first thing to ask yourself is, where's the power? And you can determine where the power is by what reality you're creating. And if you're not creating the reality that you want, then the power must be in one of your beliefs, one of your unconscious beliefs that are limiting you. And the best way, once you determine if that's where the power is, the next best question you can ask yourself is, what do I love? And that's what starts to shift the power to your imagination. Because what happens is, when our focus is on our beliefs, what happens is we're so focused on how, and that builds tension in the subconscious mind, and our beliefs are trying to inform us of how to create a reality. But all it does is just keep perpetuating the belief, and we get stuck in this cycle. And the reason we get stuck in the cycle is that tension just keeps building and resolving itself in the subconscious mind in favor of the beliefs. Whereas when we start asking the question, well, what do I love? And then keep asking the question, what else do I love? And engaging your imagination to answer that question, it shifts your focus from the process, from the how, to the what. You start taking your focus with your imagination to the end result of what you love. And simply doing that shifts the power in your subconscious mind, where you end up creating the end result that you've imagined effortlessly and magically, because the power shifted. Because, as I said at the beginning, is that the subconscious mind is within you, and it's also connected to everything else as well. And so what happens is that when our focus is on our beliefs and we're on that perpetual cycle, we get caught in this illusion of this reality that we're separate and disconnected to everything else. Whereas as soon as you start shifting the power by asking the question, what do I love, and engaging your imagination in the end result, you end up establishing that inherent connection that the subconscious mind has with everything, and the connection that your heart already has with what you love. It's kind of like, it's very much like putting a, turning like a light switch on. You know, when the focus is on our beliefs, we're literally walking around in the dark. But as soon as you shift the power by asking the question what you love, the lights get turned on, and that connection that's already there is established. It's really a magical phenomenon.
Mm. Now, you see in lots of personal development programs, promises of actually focusing on beliefs and then reprogramming them, or uprooting old beliefs. Do you actually recommend people change any of their beliefs, or is it more just focusing on their super conscious?
Yeah, it's definitely focus. It's just a matter of your focus, because it really raises that question, doesn't it? Once you've kind of laid the ground, so to speak, for the subconscious mind, and you know that it's your focus that creates reality, then obviously if you're going to go down and change your beliefs and try to change your beliefs, where's your focus? Where's the subconscious mind noticing where the focus is in your beliefs? And so it's just going to magically continue to effortlessly and magically manifest those beliefs. And whereas, as you say, if you shift the focus to your superconscious mind, which is so much more effortless as well, it's so much more easier to do that than to try to go down there and change your beliefs for a start. Trust me, you know, that's basically what I spent 10 years doing in my personal development career, because it was just like, because I have a real trust belief, and which when that has the power in my subconscious mind, it generates a lot of fear and a lot of paranoia. And so I was basically using all this other personal development to try to eradicate this fear. But all it was doing was amplifying the fear at the end of the day. Whereas when I learned to shift the power to my greatness, I just go directly for what I love. And it doesn't matter if the fear is there or not. I get what I love, you see?
Mm.
It's a completely different way of playing the game of life.
Mm. Yeah, that certainly resonates with me as well. I think I was doing an interview the other day, and one of the things that came through it was that the person I was interviewing actually said, like, fear is still there every single day, but it's just the relationship with fear that changes. And literally that comes about through changing focus. It's not that you just wake up one day and suddenly fear is off for good. Like, and I guess I absolutely love the Susan Jeffers phrase of feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah,
like, the idea is not to actually remove it, but it's just to actually change your relationship with it in a way that enables you to do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Now, I was just wondering if you could actually share some breakthroughs of people who've come along on your workshops, Darren, when they've actually seen being wrapped up in a world of thoughts, feelings and beliefs, to then actually having that subtle shift in focus to then being really at the power of their great loves, their imagination and intuition.
Yeah, sure. Well, I can think of two really good examples for you. One example is a lady that worked with me in Australia who, when she had the power was in her identity, she had a really strong worth belief. And the way that worth belief in having the power in her subconscious mind manifested into reality was this notion that she couldn't, not only could she not keep a partner, but she couldn't actually have a child. And that actually manifested in the body where she physically couldn't give birth. And she was getting into her late 30s, and she was actually diagnosed with this, I don't know exactly what it was, but to say that you've got a certain condition and there's no way as a result of this condition that you're ever going to have a child. And so that's an example of belief being reinforced. You know, that, and so then that just reinforced the fact that, you know, she felt worthless because she couldn't have a child, she couldn't keep a relationship and that sort of thing. She started to apply this premise and shifting the power to what she loved and engaging her imagination and engaging her intuition progressively. And she realized that in her heart, even though all that was the reality that she created when her focus was in her subconscious mind, in her heart she really wanted to have a child. And she really wanted to create a soulmate. And she just kept giving power to that. And then magically, not long after she really started focusing on that with her imagination and realizing that she was purposefully shifting the power and, you know, anchoring it there, then suddenly this condition magically healed itself. Doctors didn't know how, but we knew exactly how it healed itself because her focus shifted, so therefore her reality started changing. And then she kept putting power into what she loved, and then she ended up meeting her soulmate magically. She wasn't giving power to her worth belief anymore. And then, lo and behold, what should happen? They end up having a child together. And, you know, and this boy is a beautiful boy. He's only about 2 or 3 months younger than my boy. And it's just such a great example. Like, whenever I see him, it's just like, there you go. There's the subconscious mind at work when you shift the power. And she's a really good example. And then another one is a gentleman that's been working with me recently who has a not good enough belief. And when that took root in the subconscious mind, which it did for most of his adult life, that perpetuated this reality of him believing that he always needed to get another degree in order to complete himself. And I usually use the example of when you've got a not good enough belief, you usually feel like you've got to keep accomplishing and keep learning. And I met this gentleman, and when he met me, he was on his 10th university degree.
Amazing.
And it's just, and because this whole thing of, well, if I do the next degree, then that will make me feel good enough. You know, this is all unconscious, by the way. But he just thinks, well, if I get enough knowledge, then I'll be good enough and accomplished enough to be able to do what I love. Whereas in starting to understand this premise and to realize and shift the power to what he loves, he realized that he's already inherently in his greatness a wise man, both because it is part of his divine being, but because of not just his university degrees, but all his accomplishments in life, that he has this accumulated wisdom. And so instead of trying to complete himself with all this knowledge, he's just started going about sharing his wisdom with people and has drawn this distinction between knowledge and wisdom and continues to impart that with people. And he came up with this great expression, which I love. He said, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is this. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in your fruit salad. Wisdom and knowledge. And so now, he basically consults from his wisdom to the elite in Dubai and the United Arab Emirates. And where before he didn't feel like he was still doing a similar role, but he didn't feel like he was good enough, and so he needed to get more degrees to do it. Now he goes in there imparting his wisdom and making a huge difference. The last time I spoke to him, he was one of the leading people who were planning the vision for the education system in Dubai for the next 25 years.
Wow.
You know, it's just amazing what he's done. It's such a subtle shift, but because he understands this premise, it's made a massive difference in the reality that he's created in his life. And therefore, in other people's lives as well.
Absolutely. Now, I just wanted to pick up one thing there, Darren. You mentioned in the first example how, I guess, the whole process of actually shifting the focus into your power. And you actually mentioned anchoring the power, because I know people have had times in their lives where they've actually really experienced that power, but then they felt that power quickly decimate. I was just wondering if you had some really practical examples of how people could actually, once they've actually experienced that power, how they could then anchor it into their being so it becomes a habitual part of their life.
Well, to me, the anchoring process comes simply as a result of being acknowledging that you're a creator and acknowledging that you're the one creating your reality. And by simply being then an observer, I don't know how they use that expression and what the bleep, of being the ultimate observer, being an observer of the reality that you're creating. And so if you're not creating the reality that you love, then you've got the power, knowing that you understand this premise, to shift it. And so as much as it's important to ensure that the power is in your superconscious mind as much as possible, firstly, it's actually more powerful to be aware that when it shifts back to your identity, to notice that, and then to make the choice to shift it back to your greatness. So the anchoring aspect of this actually comes from firstly that observation and then the choice to shift it back. And then once you keep making that choice to shift it back, it's called an act of will. Because the first thing is it's actually impossible for it to always be in your greatness. It's impossible for it to always be in your greatness. So, but when it is in your greatness, you get momentum. And then you keep choosing that momentum. And you keep choosing it. It's a choice. And it's an act of will. So that's probably the best way that I could define that.
Great. That's a really good answer. Now, you mentioned what the bleep there. I guess probably the two of the bigger metaphysical style movies that have emerged in the last few years. What the bleep was certainly one of them, and another one was The Secret. And
yep.
this question I'm going to ask now is actually from Sydney, Cindy in South Africa. And Cindy asks, at this point, I am just one big question mark about it all. I've just read The Secret, and I am very eager to learn more. So I guess how does actually what you're sharing, Darren, actually apply to some of the thoughts and ideas in the movie and indeed the book, The Secret?
Sure. Well, the whole notion of the subconscious mind goes hand in hand with the law of attraction. Now, I think that's probably the biggest premise that's come out of The Secret, this notion that you could utilize the law of attraction to draw to yourself the end result that you love in your life. And to me, this notion of the subconscious mind helps to articulate that in a very grounded, practical way. And to me, personally, whenever I think of the law of attraction, I think of it as something, that premise is something that's outside of me. Whereas that's just my relationship with it. You know, people might have a different relationship, and it's just something that I've got to try to engage. Whereas the subconscious mind, knowing that that's within me, and it's also around me, it inherently has this attractive quality. Then it's just simply a matter of everything that I've said, that if I want to attract what I love to me, then it's just simply a matter of shifting the power to what I love. And continuing to put the power in my imagination as opposed to my beliefs or my thoughts and feelings. And it becomes very magnetic in the sense that you end up effortlessly and magically creating what you love, but then also not necessarily just from a passive perspective. Sure, you can actually attract what you love magically to you, but it's also from a wisdom perspective, because it can also trigger the deeper insights by tapping into your own intuitive wisdom and realizations for you to then get off your butt and go into the world and create it. And that's the other thing with this. It's not just this passive thing that you just turn on and, like a magnet, draw things to you. It also, in shifting the power, gives you deeper insights and deeper wisdom as to what you love, and then also gives you the steps to take action to create it, which again is an act of will. And so I believe it actually incorporates the law of attraction, but also takes it many steps further, because it's very applicable. And what I've also come to understand with the law of attraction is that it doesn't really embody the premise of intuition the way I've heard it taught. And so if you don't have intuition, the only other thing you've got to do to try to turn on the law of attraction is put yourself into a peak state, believing that if you're in a peak state, then you'll attract positive things, whereas if you're in a negative state, you'll attract negative things. Whereas I don't work with that premise at all. It's all about where's the power in the subconscious mind. And the amazing thing is that the power can be in your greatness, and you can still create what you love. As we said before, even if there's fear there, you don't have to eliminate fear. You don't have to eliminate depression. You don't have to eliminate anger to still create magically. So, you know, that's my response to that question.
Yeah, I really like that, because I think lots of people can actually dedicate lifetimes to uprooting beliefs that they possibly may be holding them back, and really never get out of the starting box. So, I really like the idea that just being present to it, acknowledging it, but then just letting it go, and then focusing on what you're here to do and what you love.
Absolutely. And it's like the whole law of attraction thing too. It's like the people who work tend to be luckier. You know, there's a saying that something like that you tend to attract a lot more to you if you're working towards what you love, as opposed to just sitting there meditating and attracting what you love to you. And I remember hearing a fantastic saying years ago. It's like a Confucius saying. It said, "Man who stand on side of mountain with mouth open, waiting for roast duck to fly in, got long wait."
Yeah, they are very wise words.
They're probably the wisest words you'll hear come out of my mouth tonight.
Awesome. Cool. So this question actually comes from Dale in Australia. So hello to everyone out in Australia. And Dale asks, "Hi, Darren. What is the most powerful step we can take to cause our intuitive genius to come into action when we are steeped in stress and worry?"
Ooh, stiff drink, possibly. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. It's a joke. Like William used to say, when things get really stressful and you want to shift the power, start drinking heavily. Now, the thing is, it all comes back to that whole thing of knowing where the power is in your subconscious mind. So if you're experiencing any stress or worry, you can be guaranteed that a belief is creating that, and that a belief has power in the subconscious mind. You know, it could be a capacity belief, or it could be a control belief. It could be any of them, really. And thing is, that's the reality that you're creating. You go, oh, well, that's where the power must be. And so then it's simply a matter of acknowledging that, and then saying to yourself, well, what would I love? I know I'm experiencing all this, and that's because that's where the power is in the subconscious mind, but what would I love? And then it's amazing, because initially it can be like this stalted start where you go, oh, I don't know what I love. But then you just keep asking yourself that question, and this little golden thread will pop out, oh, I love this. And you go, well, what else would I love? And then you just build momentum, and then suddenly the focus has shifted, and you start moving towards what you love, and suddenly you're going, where did the stress and worry go to? It's just a matter of perspective. And that's the thing, is that when you shift the power, it changes your perspective entirely. Because, again, you're not walking around in the dark anymore. You're walking around with the lights on, connected to everything. Because this is the thing, it's like when you shift the power, you connect your inherent greatness, and your inherent greatness is connected to everything. It's that premise again, we're one with everything, and that shifting the power establishes that oneness, establishes that connection. So it's a bit hard to be worried and depressed when you're connected to your greatness, other people's greatness, and the love that surrounds us. So
Now, Darren, on your workshop, you have some great processes actually for helping people become conscious of some of the beliefs that may actually be in play, ruling people's lives. And you use some great examples with the case studies you mentioned early on. And I guess this question actually taps into that as well. And it comes from Rich in the UK. And Rich asks, how does one overcome the barriers that obstruct communication with the unconscious mind?
Well, again, there's a premise there in his question that there are barriers to the unconscious mind, whereas when you understand this framework, there are no barriers. I mean, and especially when you define the unconscious mind as your beliefs. And what I do, as you know, Damien, is I basically teach people what the core beliefs are, what strategies they elicit when they have the power in the subconscious mind. And so when you become aware of them and you see them playing out, you go, oh, there's that belief there. There's my trust belief playing out in my subconscious mind, making me feel like I'm paranoid and having to be vigilant and having to stay safe. And, oh, okay. And so there are no barriers. It's direct. And this is the other thing in learning to develop your intuition, is that your intuition reveals what's going on in your subconscious mind directly and effortlessly and really powerfully. It's just like a magnifying glass. It just goes, look, this is what's going on. It reveals it. And that's why I love intuition so much, because if you're just relying on your thoughts and feelings, your thoughts and feelings aren't objective, because they're the product of your beliefs. And that's the other thing I reveal to people very simply as well, is that each thought and feeling you have can be directly attributed to one of the 12 core beliefs. And when you start developing your intuition, this is a consequence of developing your intuition. You're starting to shift the power in your subconscious mind, and you have this amazing clarity of all your beliefs, what happens when they have the power, what reality that they create. And that's only half of the equation, but what your intuition really reveals is who you really are as a divine being. What are your inherent gifts? What are the things that you love? And then you start giving more focus to them because they've been revealed, and giving more power to them as a result, and then you end up creating them.
Mm. No. And the couple of times that I've done the initiation, actually seeing people just see the 12 core beliefs and actually have these like incredible aha moments, and just see reflecting upon their life, what's been in control of their life at key moments in their progression. It's very illuminating to see the whole room sort of have these sort of collective light bulb moments about who's been in charge. It's very, very, very powerful.
Mm. I remember one of my students has this great saying. She goes, they're not strategies, they're a way of life. Yep.
That's pretty good. Now, this question actually comes from Arabella in the United Kingdom. And Arabella asks, I sometimes find that there is a blurring between my subconscious mind and the day-to-day reality. Dreams and subconscious thoughts carry through into the day and run alongside my daytime activity. Is this a good thing, or is it better to close down these thoughts and keep the two areas of activity separate?
Yeah, what a great question. Well, my relationship with that, with dreams, and in fact, I was only thinking about this morning after a dream that I had last night or in the wee hours of this morning, is that because the one thing I've only touched on, but what happens is that the way the subconscious mind builds power is that it builds tension based on the collective inputs that have gone in there. And then it just naturally has to resolve that tension. My premise on dreams is that you might have a whole sequence of events that have happened throughout the day, all these myriad of inputs that have gone into your subconscious mind throughout the day. And I just believe that dreams are simply a kind of like a melding or a regurgitation or a collective story that plays out as a result of all these inputs that have happened. It may not even just be that day, but collectively it's just like, during the day a coil has been sprung. And then in sleep, dreams are just a way of that coil releasing itself, like the tension building up with all the inputs, and then it's just releasing itself. And so to me, that's how I see the dreams playing out. And so to me, it's just not a big deal. You know, I'm not really big into dream analysis. Whereas I just see it's just the subconscious mind resolving its tension. And so then that gives me the clarity during my waking hours to go, okay, fundamentally, what reality am I creating? and then draw on that and go, okay, where's the power? Where would I love it to be? And so it does draw a very clear line and distinction between the two.
Okay, great.
So that's how I'd respond to that question.
Awesome. Okay, this, I know with your work, Darren, like you spend a lot of time talking about being in the end result. And this question comes from Peter in Australia. And Peter asks, what's the best way to break a pattern that sabotages the end result even before you start?
Yeah, well, that's a belief right there. That sounds like a not good enough belief to me. And typically when you've got a not good enough belief, having the power in your subconscious mind, it's like you clutch, what's that saying? You clutch failure from the jaws of success. It's like just because you don't feel like you're inherently good enough, just as when you're about to accomplish something that you love, you end up sabotaging yourself because it's the not good enough belief that has the power. And again, it's just the same old thing. It's when you realize that you've got that pattern playing out, because that's the thing, is that whenever those beliefs have the power, it's always the same, really the same core cluster of beliefs. And so the patterns that you play out are very predictable. In fact, what we do in the year-long course is help people map that out. And it can, and where people can think they're doing this whole array of different things and all these different things are happening, it really is. It's a structure that happens within a very confined series of steps of different beliefs being triggered and having the power in the subconscious mind, which triggers another one, etc. And honestly, the only way to break that pattern is not to try to go down there and change your beliefs, but realize that that's happening as a result of your beliefs having the power, and then choosing to shift the power to what you love, and going directly for what you love. And the great thing about once you start shifting the power and putting power in the end result of what you love and going for it and taking steps directly towards it, sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you fail. You don't always get it the first time. And when you do that, suddenly your beliefs can get triggered again and you go, oh, my beliefs are triggered again. No problem. Shift the power back. And you put your power back in your imagination and then you go for it again. So it's very forgiving as well. And so ultimately you end up creating what you love.
Mm. Well, also imagine that being focused on what you love actually inadvertently actually creates new empowering beliefs as well.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say, I guess it's a matter of language. I guess in one way you could say it gives you empowering beliefs, but I would say it gives you empowering convictions.
Mm.
And in that, it tells your subconscious mind that you are powerful, that you are a creator. It gives you momentum. So, it's just semantics, really.
Right.
But I definitely understand what you're saying. It certainly does give you that conviction to go, well, man, I've created that. What else do I love that I can create?
Mm. Awesome. Okay, this one's from Louise in the United Kingdom. And Louise asks, how can you tell the difference between your subconscious mind and what your head is telling you?
Well, again, if you go back to how I've defined the subconscious mind as a rich, fertile garden that doesn't have an agenda, and what your head's telling you are your thoughts and feelings, aren't they? And so, again, when you can articulate these different aspects of your consciousness, and you go, well, what your head's telling you is actually your thoughts and feelings that are coming from your beliefs, and then they're just telling me that because they have the power in your subconscious mind, then you can draw a line and you can go, okay, well, is this true or not? Is what's in my head, is that true? And by be able to shift the power to what you love, it also reveals the truth and also reveals the steps to take to create what you want. So, again, it all comes down to how you're defining these premises and creating this framework. And it allows you to draw those very clear distinctions.
Great. Okay. This question is actually more linked into the intuition. And Ashraf from South Africa asks, is intuition the most trustworthy source?
Well, it's kind of like a double-edged question, that one. Well, it's not trustworthy in the sense that trustworthy is a trust belief. And so this is where a lot of people can think that, well, I've just got to trust in my intuition because that's, you know, to see if it's reliable or not. But the whole, again, once you understand your beliefs that, and you know that trust is about safety, and you know that intuition isn't about trust, it's about the ring of truth. And that's one of the big things that I help people to distinguish, is that trust is about safety and staying safe, which is from that belief of trust, whereas your intuition is, and once you develop your intuition, it's all about listening to that ring of truth, and which resonates through your whole being. And that's what's beautiful about intuition, is that once you know that ring of truth, you're just compelled to act on it. And so it's not a matter of, well, can I trust in this? Because it resonates through your whole being. You know, it's like the Oracle says to Neo in the Matrix, it's like falling in love. you know it from balls to bones, you know. It's like it resonates through your whole being. And that's the great thing about intuition, and why I love it so much, is that it is, to use that word, completely trustworthy, because when you give it power and you can depend upon that ring of truth above everything else.
Great. I was just wondering if you could actually share a personal example, Darren, with the ring of truth in your own life, like where you've actually just heard that impulse just resonate all the way through your body and then just followed it out. Because it may actually help bring it home for people.
Yeah, well, I could give you heaps of examples, but I think the first one that comes to mind is when I first started to go into business partnership with William at the turn of the millennium. And I was basically given this proposal, because I was working as a change management consultant in the IT industry, I was given this proposal by another change management company to work for them all around the Asia Pacific region. I was given basically this massive income, you know, all the prestige and the glamour and the status that came with it. It was all laid on a platter for me. And because I'd already spent 2 years developing my intuition, as much as it looked great, and it really made my not good enough belief and my trust belief go, yeah, you know, this is just, I'm rocking here, you know, my worst belief, this is the gold, it didn't quite ring true. And I just happened to be in Byron Bay, traveling up from Sydney, and this guy that's offering me this deal happened to live near Byron Bay, and while I was there, I popped in and had lunch with William. And we were just chatting, and we were just having this conversation. And then out of this conversation, we just talked about the notion of working together, and it just rang so true. And we just went, then we talked about guarantees, and we talked about income, and we talked about plans, and we both went, we don't know, no guarantees, no income, no guarantee, no, nothing, no plans. Only that it rang true. And then we just went, let's do this thing. And so I got on the phone to this other guy who had this contract all there ready in fresh ink and everything. I said, sorry, I'm not going to go ahead with it. And basically then William and I, even though we didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but because it rang true, and we just basically went, let's just commit ourselves to building this modality together and playing with it and practicing it and using ourselves as guinea pigs. And that just continued to grow and grow and grow and grow into this amazing modality, and it served me as my own personal growth, it served his, and it's gone on to serve thousands of other people's lives. But amazingly, had I gone down the other path, is that, I don't know, about 6 months later, the guy that had this, you know, this business, it was just around the Asia Pacific region, ended up dying. And
oh my God.
His whole business died with him. And
wow.
So what looked like, you know, a path of gold was would have been a path of lead.
Mm.
So, you know, and that to me was such a clear difference between having all these guarantees and everything looking great, but then having the ring of truth that was there from my intuition.
Mm.
And that's all I listen to now, is that ring of truth, and then I follow it. And every time I have, even this move over to England, everything on the surface was going, oh, no, no, you can't do that. Just keep building it here in Australia. But my heart's going, no, I'd just love to go to the UK.
Mm.
And the magic that's continued to happen since I've been here has just been astounding.
Mm. Awesome, Darren. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour, and I have no doubt that the people listening on the call this evening, lots of what you've shared will have totally rang true for them. So I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to actually share just how you work and how people can get involved in the work that you do, and also if you have any workshops or coming up for people to attend as well.
Yeah, cool. Well, the main way that I empower people in this work is through workshops. And I've actually developed a one-day workshop, which I'm actually running this Saturday, not tomorrow, but the next day in central London, which is actually a 12-hour workshop, which I'm putting on for free. Because the reason I'm doing that is because I want to impart this to as many people as I can. And basically, in that one-day workshop, I empower people in their intuition so that they can, so they've got that ability to draw on, and then basically they get to bring a conflict that they haven't been able to resolve, or a major strategic decision that they want to make that they haven't been able to make, and basically use your intuition to see what your beliefs would do when they have the power in your subconscious mind, and what reality that they would create. And then we shift the power, and with your intuition, see what you would do if you went directly for what you loved, and what steps would emerge as a result. So it's a fantastic one day, both in being trained in your intuition, but then being able to resolve a conflict or make a strategic decision with your intuition, and to see the vast difference between where your intuition takes you and that ring of truth versus where your thoughts and feelings and your beliefs take you. So it's a very powerful way to have a first-hand experience of this work. So that's the first thing. And then the other thing I'm doing in a month's time, on the 17th to the 19th of July in central London, is I've got a three-day workshop called The Initiation, where obviously I take what we've done in that one day and build it, take it to a much deeper level, where I give people a much deeper training in their intuition. And it's all based on the whole premise of shifting the power in the subconscious mind. And we've got more time to flesh out the beliefs, as you were mentioning before, and really see how they've been running and having the power in the subconscious mind. But what we do in terms of really very powerfully shifting the power is we look at your relationship with money on the Saturday, and because money unconsciously is really linked to survival. And our relationship with money will determine to what degree are we perpetuating our beliefs and our survival, and what degree are we perpetuating our greatness. Because when money serves our greatness, we create phenomenal things. But when money serves our beliefs, we create very petty things, really, in the scheme of things. And so what we do is I do this amazing process that completely shifts the power in relationship to money within your subconscious mind, from your identity to your greatness. And then on Sunday, we then use your intuition to really delve in to discover what it is that you love. And then I introduce this creative technology that's all designed to perpetuate what you love. It's easier to create perpetuation than it is to say perpetuation, by the way. And to shift the power from your identity to your greatness again. So, because basically all I do is have these continually powerful tools that continue to empower you more deeply in your intuition, and then continue to empower you more with your ability to shift the power in your subconscious mind. And so now that event, that three-day event, is normally 350, I was going to say 350,000 pounds. If anyone wants to pay me 350,000 pounds, that's fine. But it's normally 350 pounds. But what I'm doing for this particular event is that I'm making it available for only 150 pounds, and that also gives you a free ticket as well to bring a guest. So effectively, you're getting two seats for 150 pounds. Again, because I really want people, particularly in the current climate we're in, to not be put off by what their financial situation, and so this work's still available to them. Or so their intuition's available to them, and so they can shift the power, you know?
Awesome. That is really remarkable value for anyone. That's really, you've just made it totally accessible to anyone on virtually any income to really start making those changes in focus that you've shared on the call, Darren. That's quite amazing.
Absolutely. I really want people to feel that resonance within them when they go, there's got to be more to life than this. Like, that's their greatness. That's their intuition calling them. And this is such a great path to bring that to life.
Great. And for people who wanted to take advantage of those offers, what's the best way to actually get in touch with you, Darren?
The best way is simply to go to my website, which is www.darreneden.com, darrenedden.com. And on my first page, my blog page, which is the first page of my website, you can enroll in both or either of those programs.
Awesome. And just for people at home, just considering the kind of offer that you made, Darren, I was just wondering if you could actually also share what kind of people are drawn to the workshops. Is there a particular type of person or is it a tool set that can really help anyone?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tool set that can help anyone. What I love about this work is that it really draws a whole eclectic mix of people. You know, I've had people, I basically only work with people who are over 18. So I've had people who, you know, as young as 18, and I've had people in their early 70s. And from people from all walks of life as well. You know, from actors to therapists to business people. It really doesn't matter. But the thing that I find, it's just that the people that I tend to attract to my work are people who simply have that inner calling where they're getting a glimpse of the magic that's happening around them, and they're questioning life and going, there's got to be more to life than this. And then they're just magically drawn to want to develop their intuition. And then there is this kind of like magic that happens, magnetism, law of attraction, whatever you want, that end up taking that next step and being trained in their intuitive mastery. So that's really the common thread that I find in the people that do the work with me.
Awesome. Now, I've just got one final question just to bring it all to a close, Darren. Just with your own subconscious and your own greatness, what exciting developments lay ahead in your own development of your work and ideas?
Oh, what a great question. I've only got a minute. basically, you know, it's to continue to develop the work. I also running a year-long program as well, which is 1 weekend a month for 8 months. And basically, I'm taking the pure essence of that work and writing a book that captures all the premises and all the illustrations and everything, and turning that into a product. Plus, basically the rest of this year is creating all these different products as well, multimedia products, so that I can make this work as accessible to as many people as possible. So as well as running my courses, a lot of my time is going to be spent on developing different products, multimedia, books, etc.
Awesome. That sounds very, very exciting. Well, Darren, we've come to the end of our hour, and I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for sharing your expertise, wisdom, and insights once again on the People You Should Meet program. It certainly is something that I deeply enjoy, and I know through the conversations that we've shared over the last year or so, like I've just got so much from them personally, And I know, having been on a number of your workshops as well, that people who come and meet your work also have phenomenal insights and breakthroughs as well. So for anyone thinking about immersing themselves in this work, like, I can certainly wholeheartedly endorse that you do act on that intuitive impulse and step forward and step into a totally new reality. And also just to thank you for dedicating your life, the last 11 years of your life, to developing this totally unique modality, and just I guess great for everyone who gets to experience your work that you didn't actually take that contract in the South Pacific of Asia and met your quick demise. But you actually followed your heart and threw yourself into, at the time must have been like seemingly uncertain steps forward, but you've actually navigated that terrain, and just by focusing on what you love, you've really created something remarkable. So I just really wanted to acknowledge you for your journey and also for the incredible dedication you put into your work.
Thanks, Damien. That's fantastic. Thank you. And you know, also, as I have done before, really want to honour you and the work that you do, Damien, and just making such great work, mine and everyone else that you interview, available to people all around the world. It's phenomenal. So, you know, I bow down to your greatness as well.
Cool, thank you. And this wouldn't be possible without our listeners, so I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all at home. Your constant involvement in this whole unfolding conversation and also the sharing of this platform as well is really, really invaluable to get this material out into the world and improving as many lives as possible. Now, for those of you on the call who would love to listen to this call again, it will be made available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website tomorrow morning. So do check back tomorrow morning, and most certainly do leave your comments as well, because it does also give people who haven't had a chance to listen to the call yet a real insight into some of the distinctions that were shared on the call. But also it gives you a really great opportunity to express yourself and the things that are important to you. So I do urge you all to take the time to share your feedback, and you'll certainly grow from it. Awesome. So that brings us all to a close. So thanks once again, Darren, and thank you everyone at home.
Thanks, Damien.
Take care.